Hello, and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holle.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples. So, you might have heard us last week saying that this episode is going to be about jealousy. But we have made an error, unfortunately. but that's okay, because everyone makes mistakes. So this week, what we're actually going to be talking about is envy. The green monster, some may say.
Yeah, so we realized that while in like day-to-day conversation, we use the term pretty interchangeably between jealousy and envy, and I would say even more so using the term jealousy, mm-hmm. what we found out is that those two words actually represent different things.
Yes, as much as they might be interchangeable in like some layman's terms. But just to give everyone a quick definition, jealousy is what happens when a person you have a close relationship with is doing something, usually with a third party. So there has to be three people involved in a jealous interaction. Mm-hmm. Whereas with envy is with one other person. So a great quote that I saw online that I think really helped me understand the difference is that jealousy is of the things that you want to keep, whereas envy is of the things you want to have.
Right. So what we're talking about here is going to be envy. So that feeling of seeing what someone else has, whatever that may be, and thinking to yourself, I wish I had that, or I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm. So do you, Violet, tend to feel envious?
Well, as much as I would love to come to you and say I never get envious, and then I have total confidence and I'm secure in myself all the time. It's simply not true. I definitely experience envy and I think it's normal, but it's mm-hmm. definitely not a comfortable feeling.
No. Well, it is normal. Mm-hmm. Lots of people, I think everyone has envy,
yeah.
which is normal.
Right.
It's okay to feel that way. I think the thing is that with envy, and how it feels like incredibly uncomfortable, I think that's a very human experience. And as I was doing research for envy and like the neuroscience behind it, it's crazy because when there have been brain scans done on people that feel envy or they're eliciting envy from that person, there are parts of the brain that are being activated that are also related to physical pain.
Wow.
So kind of what you were saying of like, it's such an uncomfortable feeling and you feel just like, oh, like, I don't like this feeling. It's because, like, your neuroreceptors are feeling, you know, close to what physical pain is, which is insane.
That makes sense. I feel like I've felt envious to the point where I feel like I'm kind of in physical pain.
Yes.
Which sucks.
I know. I feel the same. I think that, for me, there's been times in my life where I feel more envious than others.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it has to do with my overall mood in general, but I definitely feel that, like, ugh, like I'm imagining that feeling right now and it just feels gross.
Yeah, like I can definitely trace a lot of my feelings of envy to times when I was feeling inadequate or insecure about something myself. And then I saw someone who represented or achieved something in their life that I felt like I was lacking. And that's when that feeling of envy really came in.
Yeah, I think there are times that are quite serious when it comes to envy. I think that there are times when I feel envy and I think other people feel envy where it really shows that there needs to be some self-reflection and maybe assessing of what your relationship to this person is and why you're feeling that way. On the other hand, though, I feel like there's also times where I feel envy and it's very, very, it's small and like
yeah.
almost comical.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I can think of times where, you know, I'm in a group of people and I've just said a joke and then that person, you know, not meaning to take my joke or anything, but maybe they repeat it and then they get the laughs and they get the glory. It's like so small and it's so silly and it doesn't matter and it's a fleeting second. But I feel like we've all been in that position and we've kind of just been like, oh, that was my joke.
Yeah, you're all laughing because I actually thought of that place.
I'm kind of funny, so.
Also, screw those people that do that.
I don't know if it's always on purpose. Like,
I
think maybe sometimes it is, but I think a lot of times it's just people, you know, repeating back to you, even being like, oh, that was a funny joke, I'm going to say it and like rephrase it or just repeat it because I thought it was funny. But I do like, if I'm ever on the other side of things, I'll try and be like, oh, like, you know, Halle actually just said that. So, because I know how it feels to be that person who kind of gets overlooked, you know?
Yeah. I had a friend in high school who, she didn't really have a sense of humor, like her own sense of humor. The way that she would respond to you saying a joke would literally just be to repeat it. And I remember there'd be so many times we'd be in groups where it's just her and I speaking and I say a joke to her and then she'll say it kind of to me back, but then other people will hear it. And I'm like, well,
I'm the funny one, not her, I promise.
Yeah, I think my silly little moments of feeling envy always has to do with shopping and most commonly thrifting.
Yeah.
I am absolutely the person when I go thrifting with someone and, you know, they're very fashionable, I'm very fashionable, and they pick something up and I'm like, darn it.
Yeah.
I wanted that. Yeah. Especially if they have the same style as you and you're like, this is unfair.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, thrifting, obviously you have all these original pieces that, you know, it's not like if you go into a regular department store or something, you have the same piece a million times, which maybe you don't want to do that either because you want to have your own unique style. But especially with thrifting, when someone finds a good piece, it's like, oh, like that could have been me if I just got to that rack sooner.
I know. And I've definitely also had it before where I'm the one that picks something up and I can just sense it. That's why I get nervous because I'm like, they know. And I really don't want to be envious of anything, because like doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's just a piece of clothing. You're gonna find something else. But it's, again, it's the small, just very silly emotion.
Yeah. So in this week's episode, we'll be going over some other, maybe more serious times when we're feeling envious. We've gone over some silly times just to start getting you thinking about it. And then we're also going to be going over some research about envy, as we typically do here at Therapy Hour. But before we do that, we're going to listen to the song that we had originally planned on playing when we first came up with this episode idea, and we were thinking more of jealousy. So the song is entitled Jealousy, Jealousy, and it's by Olivia Rodrigo, if people aren't familiar. And the reason why we're sticking with this song is because even though the chorus obviously says jealousy, the feeling that Olivia Rodrigo is describing in the song is actually closer to what we understand envy to be. So be sure to listen out to those lyrics and keep that in mind, and we'll be right back.
I kinda wanna throw my phone across the room, cause all I see are girls too good to be true, with paper white teeth and perfect bodies. Wish I didn't care, I know their beauty's not my like, but it feels like that weight is on my back and I can't let it go. Come comparison is killing me slow.
Rather be, rather be anyone, anyone. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Interested in making radio? How about hosting your own show? At CITR, you can make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From news, art, sports, to gender empowerment, accessibility, music, and the BIPOC collective, there's definitely something for everyone. Explore new worlds both virtually and at our station, and be prepared to have a blast with some new pals. For more information or to join, please visit citr.ca/get-involved.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR. So we know how envy feels incredibly uncomfortable. Keeping that in mind, I'm interested to know why we feel envy and if that is an adaptive trait that we have developed.
Yeah. Well, envy has just been around forever. When I was doing research for this episode, there's been documentations of envy going back centuries. And there's a lot of documentation both within groups and with out-groups. So thinking that more in more casual ideas is like your team versus your competitors. Mm. So when we look at social psychology, we're constantly looking at how people interact with the people that they see as like their own group and the people that they see themselves against. And there's a lot of envy that's within both of those groups. So evolutionary-wise, there's a few hypotheses as to why we may feel envious. The most popular one is the thought that it keeps us competitive. Mm. So when we compare ourselves to other people and assess those discrepancies, we start to realize what we want to be and maybe what we are right now. Mm-hmm. And it really helps us. It really motivates us to achieve something that we want. It pushes us to strive for things. So that uncomfortable feeling, as maybe non-adaptive as it feels, mm-hmm. especially nowadays when maybe it's not manifesting in all the right ways, is really what keeps us striving for better and greater things, and why humans have been able to, like, you know, quote unquote, progress so much.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I understand the concept that we have emotions, good or bad, however we have chosen to categorize them and the way that they make us feel for particular reasons, and they do serve a purpose. But it's hard to look at an emotion like envy that does make us so uncomfortable, and it's kind of shameful, I feel like, in our society. And then kind of looking at the other side of why do we even feel this way?
Yeah. Well, that's also what's interesting about evolutionary psych in general. It's not the most, not that it's not most common, it's just not everyone believes in it. Sometimes we can see human existence as just being the product of like other experiences. So again, with envy, there's a whole other set of research that's done on it that it develops a lot in childhood. So, you know, last week we talked about attachment styles and how our needs weren't being met or they were being met and how that can affect us. And it can also affect us maybe in envy. So if you grew up as a child that didn't have their needs met, you may be a bit more predisposed to feeling envious. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really give us a reason as to why that emotion is there, but it can give us a reason as to why maybe some people feel it more, or just how it started developing more earlier on, because children do exhibit a lot of envy.
So for kids, you might see, if anyone's worked with kids or has younger siblings or anything, You might see a kid who sees another kid playing with a toy that they really want to play with. Oh, yeah. And they're very envious of that. Oh, I want to play with that train or whatever the case may be. And that's kind of how that might exist for kids. And then how might we see it following up into early adulthood?
Yeah, because it's envy comes up a lot in early adulthood. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about this too. You know, the transition from being a teenager to, you know, maybe an early adulthood, there's a lot of different things that are going in your body. Obviously, we know everyone went through puberty. It was a very stressful time for everyone. Your hormones are out of whack. So going into early adulthood, you know, internally, you're really transitioning and maybe coming a bit more baseline with, like, how your internal systems are going to be working. But also, growing up means you're trying to find yourself and you're looking around yourself to see if, you know, you're comparing yourself. Am I doing the right thing? Have I gotten enough jobs? Am I going to school? Am I doing the things that I love?
Right.
And so having such a precarious, maybe unknowing situation that, you know, definitely comes up in early adulthood elicits this, you know, really intense envy. Like, I feel like there's so many times I've spoken to other people, or I've even thought about it myself, where, like, I'm looking around at what other people are doing, you know, being in a social situation and just comparing myself.
Absolutely.
And there's also, like, quite a few characteristics in your early adulthood that can really cause envy. Envy is obviously linked to low self-esteem, but it's also really linked to having marginalized experiences. So gender, race, socioeconomic status, any of those, like, personalized factors. I feel like for me, I have had times in my life where there's something that's intrinsically about me. So, like, my physical appearance that, like, really affects me. And then that causes me to look around and see other people looking a certain way, dressing a certain way, getting opportunities for reasons that I don't have, just for, you know, whatever my titles are. And that can really evoke this, like, envious response.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we all have those kind of low self-esteem moments from time to time, or maybe there's just, like, a point in our life where we're really feeling low in our self-image. And I really remember starting to become aware of the way that my body looked and, you know, becoming a bit more aware of my family's financial position and my social status and those types of things around middle school, and then starting to look around and really start to compare myself to my friends and feeling that envious feeling about what I perceived them to have when I didn't have those things. And then you look at nowadays when we've got social media, where you're seeing kind of just the highlights of everyone's lives, and you're seeing the new clothes that they've just bought, and you're seeing the most flattering pictures of them and thinking, oh, they look so good, and all the friends that they have that they're posting about, and the cool vacations that they get to go on and trips. And you're just seeing really those highlights, and you constantly have something to just compare yourself to and to make yourself feel inadequate. And you can really torture yourself in that way.
Just in the way that, you know, I obviously post my best version of self on the internet. I'm not going to be posting, well, I have posted a picture of myself crying for the for the podcast.
Right.
But, you know, in most times I'm posting the highlights, like you said. And also, you know, there's all those, like, body modifying, Facetune things that people can do. You can really present a life to people. And then when other people are consuming that, if you're already at a place that with, you know, low self-esteem or having some circumstances, going on social media can be so difficult and can really evoke that, like, envious response. And, you know, recently in psychology, there has been this big shift, not even shift, but this interest in social media, because obviously it affects all of us. And, you know, you and I have talked so much about how social media, you know, for most people in, like, the Western world is a very big part of our lives.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it is essentially a part of our lives. It's another aspect of
and
it.
And it has very real implications on our lives as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a while, social media was kind of deemed as this, you know, earlier on, social media was seen as a cause of depression. That was, like, a big title that was going around for a while.
Interesting.
There's no direct correlations as of, you know, this far in research. But what researchers started to find was that there was a link between envy and social media. And envy can elicit some forms of like depression or just like general unhappiness. I think that was kind of the missing bit. But yeah, it's really interesting because there's two types of social media use that I've learned about. One of them is passive, the other one's active. So active social media use is the type where you're engaging with the content that you're consuming. So you are commenting on people's pictures, you're talking to them about it in real life, you are sending it to other people, you're liking it. Like, these are all actions of really integrating your life and your perception and your emotions towards what you're viewing. And, you know, kind of giving someone a boost. Like, you see a picture of someone and they look really good. You're like, oh my God, you look amazing. And this type of social media use lessens your envy, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's really nice to hear, because I feel like when I'm on social media and I see something and I'm either jealous of the way someone looks or what they're doing, I feel like I have this gut reaction to not engage with whatever I'm seeing, because that negative feeling that I'm having, I'm projecting onto them. So it's really interesting to hear that actually engaging with it could help me out with the way that I'm feeling.
Yeah, well, and we'll get into this a bit later, but like the best way to combat your envy in a lot of circumstances is to like positively engage with it, because ultimately envy is what you want. You are seeing a picture of someone that, you know, just went to Mexico and they're just having the time of your life and you're stuck in Vancouver and it's been raining for 3 weeks straight. Engaging with that material, I mean, like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. It looks beautiful there. That, you know, again, unconsciously is actually helping you not be as envious. On the other side, there's also passive social media use, and that's just like scrolling. It's like doomsday, just going for hours either on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. And this type of social media use across the board is really, really bad for someone's envy. So this is not only just like being envious of specific people, but it's your overall baseline for envy. You are, you know, it's affecting your insecurities, it's affecting your self-image, it's making you feel a lot more negative towards other people, but mainly yourself.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've talked to you about this before, but it'll happen a lot on TikTok, since on my For You page you can't really control what's coming up on your page. So I'll see accounts sometimes, or just videos that pop up on my feed, and then I go to their account and then suddenly I'm like 8 months deep into their videos because I'm like obsessing over something that they have that I don't, whether it's the way that they look or, you know, whatever. And then I have to step back and be like, what am I doing? This is not healthy.
Yeah. I have a really good memory of the last summer when I was in a very anxious state about, you know, my future and what I wanted to be doing with my life. And feeling a bit lost and all that. And I would revert to so much social media use. Like, I would go on people's Instagrams and just find everything about what they were doing in their lives. And it would just make me feel worse. Like, I remember going on this girl's Instagram page and she works in, like, tech. And I was, like, so envious of that. I was like, why isn't that me? It's like, I've never wanted to work in tech. But it's just like, you're there and you can just go through and find out so much about these people's lives. And like, it's just making yourself feel so much worse.
It really warps your perspective as well, because I feel like for me personally, and I think for a lot of people, a lot of that social media use is done in your downtime. You're usually alone. Maybe you're bored and that's why you're on social media. So it's not like you're having the time of your life and then you're scrolling through Instagram and like getting deep into someone's account, you know, which I think probably plays a role in the way that social media is impacting the way you feel envy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that concludes our little research portion, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a few short ads, and when we come back, we'll be talking about a few times that we have felt envious.
Everybody Is In provides relief to the COVID-19 crisis by delivering goods and services to residents of the downtown East Side. And we need donations. Right now, we are looking for protective personal equipment, sanitation supplies, non-perishable food, and hygiene items. you can email everybodyisin2020donations@gmail.com to make a donation, or go to dtesresponse.ca for more information. Everybody Is In is funded by Downtown Eastside Response through diversity, arts, music, and entertainment.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh in the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM, and we are discussing envy.
Yes. I'm interested to know about a time that you felt envious, not in a silly way.
Yeah.
But in a more serious way.
Oh, boy. I think an example that comes to mind for me was I was seeing someone last summer, and we had gone back. We were both from the States originally. And we had gone back and we visited my family for a week, and then we were supposed to visit their family for a little bit, but the trip ended up getting extended, and so we were there for my birthday. But me and my partner had very close birthdays. They were both in the summer, and we just happened to be with their family and friends on my birthday.
Yeah.
So, like, the week or two leading up to my birthday, everyone kept on, like, celebrating and like wishing my partner a happy birthday, and like in the back of my head I was like, it's my birthday first. And I was feeling really envious, and we were constantly singing them a happy birthday, and they did like a really nice job trying to, you know, be like, oh, you know, Violet's birthday is actually first, but at the end of the day we were with their family and their friends.
Yeah.
So as much as people were trying to be nice to me, they didn't really care as much as they cared about my partner's birthday, because
right.
that was their connection, that was closer. And again, my partner really tried their best and gave me a special day on my birthday, but at the time it was hard for me to really feel truly happy for my partner, because I was thinking about myself. And as much as I wish my birthday wasn't as big of a deal,
right.
it is. Like, it is a day that I like to feel celebrated, and it feels kind of like someone's stealing your thunder when a situation like that crops up. And I really didn't like the way that that made me feel, because ideally, you know, that was my partner at the time, and I wanted to be like, yes, let's celebrate them. Like,
right.
you know, I love them. I want to celebrate them. But it was hard for me to do that, because I was like, well, I feel like I'm not being celebrated.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say, right? Is like, we've been talking about, you know, why we feel these ways and why we feel resentment towards someone who, like, really isn't trying to make you feel bad.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the reasons you were feeling that way was because you weren't getting that, you know, positive attention from the people around you on a time where, like, usually that is what you receive.
Yeah.
And that's what you expect from those situations.
Right. I had expectations, and because the trip got kind of extended, I wasn't able to fulfill those expectations, and then it just ended up being really disappointing to me, because I knew if I had been back in Vancouver with my friend base, I would have been really celebrated.
Right.
And then even in that time when I was with my family, I didn't really feel like I was getting that, like, birthday celebration either, because it was just a bit further away from my birthday than when we were back with their family.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting, too, to, like, go back to think about, you know, the possible evolutionary reasons why we have these feelings, and seeing them manifest in these ways of, like, you're not in competition with your partner.
Right.
You're not trying to, you know, I don't know, compete against a group or achieve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in this case, too, where it's like, it's not even really something to, like, work towards. It's
right.
just like, I would like attention because it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Which is something that's super fine. Like, I love my birthday. I feel like people should love their birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great day to celebrate yourself. And then when you don't get that, you're like, well, now I feel cheated, because I've got to wait a whole other year.
Oh, yeah. And I think the thing, too, that made it feel kind of extra bad was just the fact that it was really taking away from the way that I wanted to be acting.
Right.
And it was really just leaving this really sour taste in my mouth that was no one's fault. And I could zoom out and look at it more, quote unquote, logically.
Right.
And that just made me more angry at myself,
I know.
Which sucks. It just compounds those feelings that you don't want to feel.
I know. It's such a frustrating feeling with envy sometimes. You can tell yourself, like, I don't not like this person. Mm-hmm. I love this person. Yeah. I want to support this person. But there's this whole other, like, almost uncontrollable part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you need to feel angry enough because your self-concept is being intruded on,
mm-hmm.
or it's being threatened in
yeah.
some way. Which,
yeah.
I mean, that's all of my own thought, and I don't know really anything else, like, research-wise about it. But, like, that's what it feels like. It's like, I can't control this feeling. It's just going to stay there.
Yeah. Was there a time that you were feeling really envious as well?
Oh, my God, all the time. No, in reflecting for this episode, I've done a lot of reflection, especially during the beginning of quarantine, of realizing when I feel the most envious is when I'm feeling the lowest in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the one example that I was thinking of was a few years back. I was friends with this group of people for a while, and then I kind of transitioned out of that friendship for my own reasons,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, for every, you know, everyone progresses out of friendships. And I had had my own other friend group, and we all did things with each other over the weekends. But I remember seeing videos and pictures and all that stuff of all of them going out to house parties, specifically house parties, because at the time I wasn't going to house parties. I was just hanging out with, like, a small group of friends, and we would just do stuff together. And I remember being so envious and being like, I want to go to house parties.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something fun, and I want to meet new people. And it made me really resent those people. And I was still kind of talking to a few of the people in that group, but it made me really want to cut everyone off because I was just so, I don't even know if it was angry. Like, I was just really frustrated, even though I didn't want to be invited to those things because I knew I didn't like those people.
Right.
I still wanted to be a part of them. And, you know, kind of moving forward and reflecting, you know, I've talked a little bit on the show before, but I used to have some pretty bad social anxiety to the point that I really wasn't able to, like, go into big group settings and, like, talk to people. And I think in those moments, I wasn't angry at anyone for not hanging out with me, because then inevitably I didn't want to be hanging out with those
right.
people. It was just that they had accomplished the thing that I really wanted to do. I remember, like, really realizing that the problem was, like, I wasn't going to house parties.
Right.
I really wanted to be in, like, a scene of people that I could, like, go to a house and, like, meet a big group of people
yeah.
and, like, get to meet new people throughout that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, that kind of social envy is really interesting. And the way you just described it, I think social media was playing a role there.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely gone to events or parties where I'm like, this really isn't that fun.
Right.
And then I see the way people have posted about it on social media.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I feel like if you weren't at this event and you just saw this, you would think it was super fun. And I think that happens as well. Our brain tricks us, even though, you know, if you had been at that particular house party with those particular people, you probably wouldn't be having that fun of a time. But because you're just seeing the highlights of it on social media, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
And that really sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, we should definitely do a whole episode on FOMO.
Uh-huh.
But I just think that social envy is so, it has such a chokehold on me. Even when I know the event that I'm watching, because I feel like now I'm a bit older too, and there are groups and events that I choose not to go to because I just know that I'm not going to have that great of a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still see pictures, and I'll still be a little bit envious that I wasn't there.
A little bit of, like, the grass is always greener, and little bit of that kind of unknowing where you can fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And you perceive that other people are having a really great time, and you're like, that could have been me, but I didn't go to this.
Yeah, and I also felt, this was also an interesting reaction that I felt specifically in this situation where, like, I still had some friends in that friend group that I spoke to. It really made me feel like I had to, quote unquote, brag about the things I was doing. So I felt like I was always posting more on social media when I was feeling envious of other people. Trying to make it seem like I was having so much fun. And that's, I mean, it wasn't, I was having fun with my friends, but it was this weird thing of feeling like I had to prove it.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird, and again, a really gross feeling, because one, you should just like hanging out with your friends and doing the things that, you know, make you feel joy without the need to prove to anyone else.
Yeah. And that's kind of the one of the weird effects as well. When you're feeling envious about whatever it is, you might want to go to social media and you might want to make yourself look a certain way or highlight certain things in your life because you're feeling that envy, and then you're feeling inadequate, and then you're feeling like you need to prove yourself in this way, which is a really interesting phenomenon. I'm definitely guilty of that as well. And, you know, I'll post about my friends who are my really good friends or certain things that are really fun. But I also post sometimes when I'm not feeling so good about things.
Oh, yeah.
And then I feel like I need to kind of amp myself up and present myself in a certain way, which I don't like. Like, I just want my social media to be as honest as possible. But sometimes there is an ulterior motive.
Well, I also think that for me, it doesn't always even manifest in social media. It also just sometimes makes me feel really competitive with other people. Like, again, with envy, you know, it's a really terrible feeling. And I think that a lot of people are just trying to find a way to cope with it. And I've definitely been guilty in the past of just fully trying to, like, make someone else feel bad or like bragging or just trying to like put someone else down for the fact, even though they are like my blueprint, like they are the person that I'm trying to be like. It's just, oh, it's just terrible.
Isn't that ironic?
I know.
You're like, you're so cool, I want to make you feel bad and small.
Yeah.
It sucks. But like all human emotions, envy isn't purely good or evil.
Right.
And as much as envy may feel like a really negative emotion, it can actually have some positive impacts, which you kind of touched on in the research portion. So emotions provide us with information about our current situation as well as motivations to act on something. So, for example, it can be positive to feel envy when it motivates us to learn from the example of others, kind of acting as sort of a role model, and it can actually help improve ourselves to like improve on a skill that we've really wanted to be improving on, or, you know, be kind of the fire under our butts to get out there and do that thing that we've always wanted to do. If we're feeling envious of someone, it probably means that they represent something that we actually want for ourselves. So if we want to channel that feeling into something more positive, we can think of the person that we're envious as, like I said, kind of a role model, and have that feeling guide us into becoming the person that we ultimately are hoping to be, and seeing that hope projected onto that person.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, all evolutionary and like childhood stuff aside, I think envy is just, it's just what you're insecure about. It's what you want. And maybe it represents a part of yourself where you're not fulfilling it. So I think that's great. Like, I think that thinking about like, okay, this is something that I wanted. So how am I going to do that for myself and not try to compare others? And I think that it's really interesting, you know, talking about earlier how we have this innate need sometimes to put other people down for what we feel most envious of. Which is, you know, it's a very normal thing to feel, but obviously it's not a very good thing. And so I feel like recognizing that envy and recognizing that very strongly that it's not that person's fault, that they are just like have something that you want to do.
Of course.
And when we were talking about this episode, I was actually reminded of this interaction I had with a friend when they were envious of me, which I thought is a very interesting experience, because I think obviously you're not always privy to knowing when someone feels envy towards
you. Sometimes you can kind of pick it up. But did this person come directly to you and tell you that?
Yeah, because like I noticed that we were very, there was a weirdness in our relationship. We were very close, but then I was spending some time with other people and felt very, you know, disconnected from them. But I would just put it down to like, oh, they're maybe busy or like they're doing whatever. And I think I got a text from them or maybe something like that, where we ended up sitting down and talking. And she did admit to me, she was like, I have been really envious of your life right now. You seem like you're making new friends and I'm feeling really left behind. Mm. And I feel like we're not as close anymore because of these things that you're doing. Mm. But then ultimately what she did say to me was like, you're also doing things that I know you've been talking about for a while. Because I think at the time I was really trying to get out of this rut of social anxiety. I think also like I was starting to date and mm-hmm. like also dressing differently. Like I was really trying to change myself in the way that, you know, more represented me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what they had said to me was like, well, I'm so happy for you right. because you are doing the things that I know you've been talking about.
Yeah.
But I can't not feel this like mm-hmm. small part of myself that's a bit envious of your situation. It was mostly linked to my friendships, I mm-hmm. think, at the time. And, you know, as intimidating as that is, and, you know, I've definitely never done something like that right. before, it was so beneficial for yeah. my relationship with this friend. Like,
yeah.
we got to talk through it and just, like, hearing her perspective on it. And, like, we really came to this kind of, we didn't really fix it because it took a while. We had to like work on our relationship. But I love that because I was notified that I wasn't giving my friend enough mm. attention because I hadn't even thought about that. Like right. I just thought that she was busy.
Mm-hmm.
But then hearing that and being like, I'm not feeling like I'm getting as much of your time as I want to. I was like, okay, great. Like now I know
mm-hmm.
I can turn around and talk to this person or see them more. And on top of that, like, I think when you're able to, like, sit someone down and really open up to them about the things that you're feeling, as scary and intimidating as that might be, I feel like it's a bit freeing
because mm-hmm.
you're kind of speaking that truth and realizing that this person hopefully is someone that you care about and is willing to meet you halfway. Mm-hmm.
So after you had that conversation, did you implement some changes and you saw an improvement in your relationship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's one of my closest friends. And like, I think that every friendship has its ups and downs. But ultimately, like knowing her side of things, but then also getting me to respond, I think mm-hmm. also helped. Like in that situation, I was kind of just like describing to her like, oh, yeah, I mean, I just thought you were really busy with school
right.
and I thought that you weren't coming out anymore because you just wanted to get things done. But like, if I'm not showing you that I still want to see you, like, obviously, let's work through that.
Yeah, it's a great solution because you're able to just air it all out, communicate about yeah. it. I think that friend was really brave to do that
yeah.
because that's a really intimidating thing to do, to come to the person that you're envious of and admit that to them. I mean, that takes real guts, especially because how we've been talking in this episode, how it's not a feeling that you're very proud of.
No.
But then it's cool to see that in that situation, it really helped improve the situation and she could kind of be validated in her feelings, but then also get your perspective. And I think that sort of situation really humanizes the person because I can mm-hmm. only imagine that in the process of her feeling envy, it was starting to make her feel really insecure about, well, what place do I even play in this friend's life anymore? Because
right.
they have all these other friends. Do I even matter? So then coming to you and saying, hey, I'm really, you know, envious of all of these things and it's making me feel like I don't matter in your life anymore. And then you having the opportunity, which you might not have if she didn't share this with you, to turn around and say, no, you do matter a lot.
Yeah.
And I really apologize if you haven't felt that way. And let's correct that and let's fix that because I do really love and care about you.
Yeah. And I've talked to so many people about their envy towards other people. And I think it's so interesting, you know, talking to you during this episode and what we've spoken about prior to this and also just to so many others. When you say it out loud, it just feels so insignificant or just feels so silly where you're like, why am I feeling this way? And I do think, I really do stress to anyone that does come to me, because I think what happens a lot with envy is that you become pretty passive aggressive. And I think mm-hmm. that's also something that like I've done and I've also experienced in some, in some respects of like, I can tell this person is angry or like, I know that I'm angry. And so I'm not addressing the situation because, you know, most people aren't going to go to someone and tell them that mm-hmm. they're envious of them. It's just not really something that's going to, but it's not a very socially acceptable feeling. So then that just manifests in these like weird interactions or like passive aggressive reactions of, you know, turning around and snapping at someone or making fun of them, putting them down, which we've talked about and I've seen so often.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, I feel like I've done that before when I felt envious of someone. And then right afterwards, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, because that's the thing is you're not, let's say, for example, you're jealous of someone's social status that you are feeling inadequate in that regard. You might, you know, make a snarky comment about something about their social status. But internally, that's not really what you're thinking.
No.
You're just trying to have a cheap dig at someone to make them feel less good about the thing that you ultimately just admire about them.
Right.
And, you know, envy is a really natural feeling, and we all do feel it from time to time. And so with that being said, I think it's really important to know some positive ways to deal with it. Because it will pop up in your life and it can result in some of these negative ways, both to ourselves and to others, as we were saying. And if it doesn't get properly dealt with, that can really cause issues for yourself and for your relationship. So, you know, how do we go about dealing with this?
Mm-hmm.
I think the best first step is just being honest with yourself. And then you can also possibly take the route that your friend took of being honest with the person that you're envious about. I think just fleshing that out and airing that out and having it out in the open can be good, but, you know, that's not always going to feel right and appropriate. So as much as working through it with the other person, whether that's a friend or partner, can be super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You're not always going to want to do that kind of explicit communication, whether that's because you're afraid to admit that you're feeling envious, or possibly you've just weighed out the actual fact of why you're feeling envious in that situation, and you realize that that doesn't really ask for that kind of conversation. So in that case, you might want to consider, like, how else can you kind of shape that feeling into a positive experience.
Yeah, so I have a really funny anecdote because there was a time of probably several months ago that I was feeling a lot of envy, like a lot, and it was really affecting me. Every time I was going out, like anyone that I looked towards, I was just like, anything that you have, I want. And I was at a very low point in my life. I was I had very low self-esteem. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was going on at the time. And so it was obviously just, you know, this kind of byproduct of, like, me feeling low about myself. So I Googled it. I Googled.
That's awesome.
Because that's what I do sometimes.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was using the term jealousy, but, you know, we're talking about envy. I just kind of typed in, like, how to get rid of jealousy.
Yeah.
I was just like, please, someone.
Somebody please give me answers. This does not feel good.
No. And so I looked through a few articles, and I think I found, it wasn't WikiHow, but it was something close.
WikiHow would have the answers to this.
WikiHow is the answer to everything.
It does.
But I looked it up, and I think I read some article, and it gave a piece of advice that I, to this day, use and has helped me so much, which is, when I'm feeling envious of someone, instead of feeling aggression or anger, just compliment them. Take what you're envious of, because it's obviously something that you want. It's obviously something that you desire, and turn it into a productive and beneficial comment on that other person.
Yeah, in the birthday situation envy thing I was feeling over last summer that I shared, I didn't really feel like it was an issue that I needed to bring up with my partner, because I don't know what I would want them to change or, like, I had no expectations for them to do anything differently necessarily. That just felt like really not how to handle the situation. So instead, I tried my best, as hard as it may have been at the time, to kind of turn that feeling into a compliment. And I told them what I observed, which was that their family and friends really loved them and wanted to make them feel super special for their birthday, which was all very true. Sometimes it was kind of hard for me to take a deep breath and, like, say that, you know, but ultimately, I think that really helped me in that situation. It was a really nice way for me to process the way that I was feeling, and having it be someone close in my life, my partner at the time, that's what I wanted to be telling them, you know?
Right.
And ultimately, in that situation, I needed to do some work on my own end, which I think is really important thing to think about as well when you're feeling that feeling, you know, considering why are you feeling envious and where that might be coming from internally. I think I was feeling envious in that moment because I was feeling really inadequate about the love and support I was getting about the day that was supposed to be special for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's also something I can ask for from the people in my life as well. And that's kind of the place that I came to.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, again, the times that I felt envy and then had someone come to me and, you know, share something with their life, or I see something in their life and then being able to like respond in a positive way, one, I think really gets rid of that feeling. I think, you know, there's no solution to envy. Everyone's just going to feel it no matter what. But I feel like the way that I've really kind of gotten that burden off my shoulders has just been like, I need to talk to this person. I want them to explain to me the thing that they're very excited about. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to listen. And then I'm going to tell them that I'm really happy for them.
And I think if you say that, you start really believing it.
That's the thing. Yeah. This is what I was going to say, is like, I in the past have felt really envious of like my friends that get into relationships, because it's not really something that I've been able to accomplish all the time. And there's the part where like I'm by myself and I'm ruminating about it. But then when they actually get to come to me and tell me about the like lovely things that they're experiencing with their partner, and I start talking to them, you really don't think it's going to happen. But as I'm speaking, I'm like, I actually feel so happy for this person. I'm so excited that they're experiencing this. And again, on top of the complimenting part, like you said, it's really important to take a time to use that to reflect. Because again, there's always something underlying the surface. Like you are not just envious because someone has something you don't. There are a million people that have what you don't have. You're choosing this person in this situation and you're feeling it in this moment for a reason. And it's so much more important to just hone in on yourself and also like look at your own accomplishments. Yeah. Like I feel like sometimes I feel really inadequate just like in schooling or like my occupation stuff. And then one time I remember like looking over my resume and I was like, I've done some really cool things. Yeah. Like I've accomplished things, and there's nothing wrong with tooting your horn a little bit.
Right. Totally. I mean, I definitely advocate for people to be their biggest hype man.
I am.
I think it's really important. I really like that idea of looking at what it might be that's making you feel this way, that you're feeling inadequate, and finding like three compliments for yourself of, well, I really like that I've done this, or I may not have this quality, but I have this other quality that I really love. I think that's a really nice way to handle it. And the other thing to consider here is that as much as envy may be this really uncomfortable feeling, it may result in some actions that you're not so proud of, it's never wise to disregard or suppress those feelings. And in no way are we telling you to stop feeling envious of others. I don't even know if you could do that if you wanted to. It's probably an inevitable feeling. And, you know, feeling that emotion is important in its own way. But I think channeling that feeling in the right direction is really important. So I hope those can give you some good, like, first steps of what you can do the next time you're feeling kind of envious.
Yeah, and, like, we didn't go over this in the research portion because I think that it's great to end this episode with this understanding of introspection, because there's research behind it. When you introspect about your own life and also, like, your shortcomings, it leads to a greater understanding of yourself. And in the role of envy, it can lessen envy, it can motivate you to do the things that you want to be doing with your life, which inevitably, that was what envy in an evolutionary perspective was meant to do. You're supposed to motivate yourself to be better or to compete or like, I don't know, hit a tiger, whatever people were doing. And
wait, what? Hit a tiger.
Well, I was going to say
punch
kill
a tiger in its face.
That's actually what every human was doing, and the Homo sapiens. Well, no, I just mean like, you know, maybe this in the beginning stages of envy as a human, we were just trying to accomplish land and more people in our in-groups and like competing against others. And that envy was supposed to like elicit this feeling of like, we need to conquer this because we need this land for like these reasons. It's now obviously manifested into many different ways. And I do think that if you can take that feeling, really, really uncomfortable feeling, and turn it into something positive, it's your best option. I don't think that there's any advice that either of us or any other person in the world could give you about not feeling envious, but I do know that I have felt the least amount of envy and for that matter, jealousy as well in my mm-hmm. relationships when I have been most secure in myself mm-hmm. and most happy with myself. And like when I was thinking about quarantine and the beginning of my quarantine, which was a lot of introspection by myself, I was feeling really, really low sometimes and having these really uncomfortable feelings and then reverting back to like, when did I feel the best? Mm-hmm. When did I like the way that I looked physically? When mm-hmm. was I happy in all my relationships? And I loved my job and mm-hmm. I loved my school and I was doing really well. In those moments, I didn't have much to be envious about.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you were talking about that social FOMO envy that you were feeling a few years ago, I have felt that as well, but I've noticed that when I'm feeling super happy and satisfied in my personal relationships in my life, I look at other people having a fun time at a thing that I'm not at, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks so fun. I'm so happy for them that they're going out.
Oh yeah.
But then the moment that I'm not happy or satisfied in my social life or my relationships or whatever, I see people doing that and I don't have that positive feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in those moments when I'm feeling really secure, I'm not projecting any kind of insecurity onto other people doing things that are ultimately really irrelevant to me and my right. life, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're reaching kind of the end of our episode for this week, but before we finish up, we wanted to give you a little bit of homework for this next yes. 2 weeks, as we like to do at the end of our episodes. So if there's someone in your life that you've been feeling a little bit envious of recently, we want to challenge you to maybe just journal about it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
kind of get to the root and the source of where that's coming from, and then find and consider a way that you might want to turn that into a positive feeling or a positive action. So that might mean giving that person a compliment. It might mean sitting them down and having a bit of a conversation about it if that seems like something that would be helpful to you. Or it may just mean going to a trusted friend outside of the situation to work through some of those feelings so you can feel a bit better and a little bit more relieved.
Yeah. Well, this has been Therapy Hour because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Therapy Hour also has an Instagram account now, which we're very
yes.
excited
Talking
about.
Talking all social media.
You can be very envious of us. Just kidding. You can follow us on Instagram at Therapy Hour Pod. That's Therapy Hour POD on Instagram for updates on our episodes.
And some backstage exclusives. Thank you so much for tuning into CITR 101.9 FM. Join us again in 2 weeks on Tuesday at 6 p.m. We'll be talking about phobias.